Blog Talk Radio.
So we can come to you, you the almighty people. And one of the tools we're going to use is to fill in our missing pages of history. That's right. History is best to reward those who research. We would like to welcome you to MPH Radio. And our theme today is destroying African history. Some may call it black, but we're going to say it's for African history. That's right. We're going to have a discussion around that topic today. And like always, we invite you to join in with us. But before we do that, like always on MPH Radio, we'd like to give you something to think about, followed by some black MPH Black Mini Facts, a message to the community. And we're going to talk a little bit, too, about what's going on in Nick of our woods. And you will be allowed to come in and share with us what's going on in Nick of your woods by dialing 818-337-0016. And then we're going to our topic today, destroying African and Black history. And question came about by looking at a documentary on YouTube on how eugenics erased Black history. There are a lot of lessons to learn from that, and what we want to do is remind our people about the ongoing war to destroy African history. So that's the order for today on MPH Radio. And like always, we're going to give you something to think about, and then followed by Black Mini Facts with our supporter and member, Susie. So right now, let me just give you something to think about, and we're going to talk about this concept of freedom. Freedom is something that is often fought over, died over, and millions of people continue to die and fight for this concept of freedom. So at least if we're going to die for something, we should try to understand what is it that we are dying over. So let me just give you something to think about as it relates to freedom. What is freedom? A definition of freedom. Once someone has stated that freedom is the ability and the means to control those necessities for life. What do you think about that concept? Freedom is having the ability and the means to control those necessities for life. Think about that. Tell me, how does this definition fit into your understanding of freedom? That's our thought for the day. At this point in time, for the week of the 25th or the 24th to the 30th, we're going to bring you Sister Susie with MPH Black Mini Facts. We'd like to welcome Sister Susie to MPH Radio. Welcome, Sister Susie, to MPH Radio.
Good evening. The Black Mini Facts today is coming from the PRSP calendar of 2021. On April the 25th, we had the African jazz singer Ella Fitzgerald was born in 1917. On the 26th, Cyril Boone invented and patented the ironing board in 1892. On the 27th, we had Africans can vote in first all-race elections in South Africa in 1994. And also on that day, we had Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, Pan-Africanist revolutionary giant, died in 1972. On the 29th, Lincoln University is founded in 1854. And also, there was a massive revolt against colonial rule in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, in 1896. And the last minute fact for April, the 25th through the 30th, is Vietnamese masses defeat U.S. imperialism in 1975. I've just given you a few mini facts from the PRSP calendar of 2021.
Thank you, Susan, for your MPH Black Mini Facts. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to have Brother Alex Joyner give us his message to the community. This is MPH, Don't You Go Nowhere. We'll be right back. Got us living on the front line. We don't want no land of the Palestinians. We got land of our own. We want to stop shooting brothers from killing brothers over in Africa and throughout the African diaspora. We want peace. We want justice. We want equality. We want a world where people can live like human beings. Welcome back to MPH Radio. As we stated before our break, we will come back with a message to our community with Brother Alex. But before we bring Brother Alex in, we'd like to make a couple announcements. We were scheduled to get an update report on Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. If any of the representatives who is on this line right now listening to the program is to give us an update, please hit 1 so we can acknowledge your number. If you ought to do that particular report, please hit 1 so we can acknowledge your number and bring you in. Okay, look like we have the representative with us. So what we're going to do, we're going to make a little adjustments. Instead of Brother Alex, your message to the community, let's bring in this special report. Since we're dealing with this question of the theme, destroying African history, and this history of this freedom fighter is very important to make sure we get the correct history of our people who have dedicated their lives to the forward progress of our people, humanity. So what we're going to do right now is to get an updated report on what's going on in present status of our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal to make sure that we have the correct page of history as relates to his continued progress and contribution to our people, unity and liberation. So we're going to bring in caller 9811, caller 9811, introduce yourself and give us an update on the present status of our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. We welcome you to MPH Radio. The mic is yours, caller 9811.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
How you doing?
I've been to Africa 4 times. I'm pretty sure a lot of Africans that I've met, Nigeria, Algeria, Lesotho, South Africa. I even went to Madagascar. They don't relate to Americans at all. Does that make sense to you, sir?
Okay, my brother. Thank you. We was hoping that you was going to give us a report on Mumia. If you have any comments later on the program, we will bring you back in. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mrs. Pages of History. We thank you. All right. As we said earlier, we would like to right now proceed with the program. We'll go to our brother Alex as he give us his message to our community today. Brother Alex, what is the message to the community for today's program? The mic is yours.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank you, Mr. Lee, for giving us this opportunity to listen and enjoy history in our homes and history in the making. Because this past week, we lost an icon of the civil rights movement, a wonderful singer, just a good gentleman that lived a good life, trying to help his fellow man. So I appreciate you giving me this time to give him a full tribute today, because we do not have leaders in our community as this man was in his time. As I talk about a good friend of Dr. King and many civil rights leaders, and as I have read different comments on different stations, it is only deserving so that on missing pages of history that I can give him a true tribute from our view. Buck has passed, and now the preacher has moved on to glory. As a young child, I liked to watch the cowboys and Indians and good westerns with lots of action. I was given a set of pistols, a mask, and a silver badge, and I wanted to be a lawman like the Lone Ranger. I watched Gunsmoke, The Big Valley, and Bonanza on TV for years. I was not prepared for the movie Buck. I had never seen black actors star in a major Western or cowboy role along with musical soundtracks written by a black composer. To sell me on a movie, the soundtrack score had to be perfect, and Benny Carter was the best. After seeing the trailer late one night on TV, I was thrilled to know Sidney Poitier was the main character. His co-star, Harry Belafonte, though, was a bit of a surprise. You see, the handsome young man with the unmistakable voice who played the role of the preacher was also well known and respected. He had become a hero to me during the 60s by his work in the civil rights movement. As a young man, I considered him the most suave and coolest brother before Billy D. Williams, Richard Roundtree, or Ron O'Neill. Harry had it all. He was one of the few to have an Emmy and Tony Awards. He was truly a greatest of all time. His album, Calypso, released in 1956, was the first LP to sell over 1 million copies by a single artist. He had a golden voice, and when you heard him sing, he moved you, and he sang pop, jazz, blues, folk, gospel, show tunes, and the American standard of Broadway and Hollywood theater. I had to see the movie no matter what. I wanted to be first in line when it came to town. So on my birthday in April 1972, I went to the movie theater and watched the movie directed by Sidney Poitier and produced by Belafonte Enterprises with my best friend. This is a wonderful Western movie that I continue to watch even now, as I have a recording in my own personal movie collection. The story plot of the movie is set to after the end of the Civil War, when thousands of former slaves, now free from their European-American oppressors in the South, decided to move to the Western territories to start a new life. A sort of wagon train scenario was common for both whites and blacks as they moved west to start a new life in the towns they founded. The freed blacks soon began to call their communities free towns, and they were successful at self-government and were very disciplined in religion as they founded many churches of faith and began a prosperous life. The preacher or minister became a mainstay and leader in these new communities. Many whites who moved out west were known for their lawless towns with gunfights and outlaws who robbed banks, stagecoaches, and trains. They named their cities Dodge City, Tombstone. And as the stories of the many killings of these innocent cities in these towns was commonplace, there were corrupt law enforcement officials who became famous sheriffs or marshals and hanging judges that ruled the land, as many tales of danger and tragedy filled the newspaper columns in the East. The Wild Wild West, where anything could happen or any criminal could do harm, became an outlet and haven for many. Sidney Poitier's character, Buck, was a black Civil War soldier turned trail guide, who has made a living leading wagon trains out west to start new settlements. Buck was known as a fast gun and a man you could trust in a fight. Along the way, he is joined by a con artist, the preacher, played by Harry Belafonte, who wanted to take as much money from these ex-slaves as possible, as he was a fraud, and he constantly clashed with Buck. After a gang of white bounty hunters tried to round up the wagon train to bring them back to Louisiana, the two of them put aside their differences to fight this common enemy, as they used guns and wisdom to do it. It is a wonderful movie with a good plot, and it shows best that you could learn love a good Western with a great ending. This is one standing class to movie showing the good guys do win. Now listen to Dale.
Work all night and I drink a rum. Stack banana till the morning come. Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana. I keep deadly black tarantula. Tallyman, tally me banana.
And I thank you so much, because that is the traditional Jamaican folk work song from the history of the night shift dock workers loading bananas onto freight ships bound for other nations. The lyrics describe how daylight has come, their shift is over, and they want their work to be counted up so they can go home. The song was recorded by Harry Belafonte in 1955 in the Grand Ballroom at Webster Hall in New York City and released on RCA Victor label in 1956. The song changed the music world as the Caribbean calypso sound became popular in America. I was not ready, like many, for Harry Belafonte to leave us. This is a void that can't be filled. I feel like he was going to outlive us all. He was always handsome, charming, and funny with the allure of a king. His presence when he entered a room was spellbinding. He had the admiration and respect of all who knew him. He was a master at his craft of singing long before he began to act on stage or television and in the many Hollywood movies he was cast. He made an impression on those who saw freedom and justice as he went from speaking at churches to uplifting the community, to praying at prisons, to comfort and support the wrongly convicted. In 2005, Harry founded the Gathering for Justice, nonprofit organization that provides an intergeneration forum for activist community members and the formerly incarcerated, and to work toward ending child incarceration and racial inequities in our justice system. He was born Harold George Belafonte Jr. on March 1st, 1927, at the Lion Inn Hospital in Harlem, New York, to multiracial parents of Scottish, Jamaican, Dutch, African, and Jewish descent, mainly from the Caribbean. Young Harry lived with his grandmother in Jamaica when he learned his family roots and enjoyed the calypso music of the day. He later returned to New York and finished high school and served in the United States Navy during World War II. Again, he came back to New York, and as a tenant gave him tickets to the American Negro Theater, where he met Sidney Poitier, and they became lifetime friends. Harry and Sidney often traded places in between the acts as they both were struggling financially to make it at that time. Harry began singing in clubs to pay for his acting classes, where he met Charlie Parker, Matt Mark Roach, and Miles Davis. He first launched his career as a pop singer on the Roots label in 1949, after recording the Banana Boat song. He became internationally known as the Calypso King and earned an audience following greater than any other artist. He had sang in many eras of music and theater. He socialized with many celebrities and became a friend and mentor to anyone trying to sit a spell and talk about the politics of the day. He was an outstanding actor who had so many credits, as his passions for the art showed in his stage and movie roles. He seemed to master any role assigned to him. But Harry would not just accept any role, especially less than desirable role, that would show him or any other Negro actor in a less than positive image. As he became famous, he started a political and humanitarian active role that we are still familiar with today. He is said to have married politics and pop culture, as his personal beliefs were inspired by his idol, Paul Robeson, a great singer, actor, civil rights activist who mentored him personally. Robeson opposed racial prejudice in the U.S. as well as the colonialism of Africa. Harry never denied his revolutionary spirit, as he lived a radical life, which he never denied, nor forgot the lessons he learned from his friend and confidant, Robeson. Harry gave an extreme amount of money to the civil rights causes and organizations when many were afraid to lose their careers over supporting social justice issues in America. He was good friends with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and many civil rights leaders, as he spoke at the podium at the March on Washington rally in 1963 for jobs and freedom. At the height of his career, he was blacklisted and investigated by Congress for him being a left-wing artist who spoke out against racism in America and the world. In his account, on asked to denounce his liberal views to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, he said, "There was nothing to debate, Mr. Sullivan. Everything on the list I have done, and there are other things that I have done that should be, but are not on it, and I will continue to do them. As an American and as a human being, I lend my time and energy to end hate and racism, to look for a better day for us all, to look to that America which was defended by Lincoln and have been created by the founding fathers. I stand guilty. And the choice of me giving up that commitment to be on your show doesn't equate. I would love to sing to the American people on this show. I guess you can't have it all." After the show aired, America fell in love with the Banana Boat Men. Harry helped organize We Are the World song that raised money for Africa and the Live Aid concert in 1985. His accounts of the two types of blacks that share America are the descendants who honor the traditions of the slaves that lived on the plantation and the ones who lived in the big house on the plantation. These blacks will never join, as the master was successful in separating them against each other and they continue to do so today. Harry Belafonte's legacy is a great one, one filled with hope and aspiration that his brothers and sisters would be self-sufficient and move forward with love and respect for each other. He hated the violent black-on-black crime and the lost family values that were no longer being taught to our children at 96 years old and carrying the weight of social conscience. The banana man's work was finally being recognized as many have paid tribute to him for a job well done. Daylight has come for Harry, and we have to let him go home to God. A life well spent trying to help his brother, just doing God's will and loving it. Daylight come, and we have to let you go home. Daylight come, and we have you go home. Daylight come, and we have you go home. Rest in peace, Harry. The world loves you. And thank you, listeners.
We'd like to thank Brother Alex for his tribute to Brother Harry Belafonte, and we'd like to give our condolences to his family and children, and we too say rest in peace, my brother. Job well done. So at this point in time on MPH Radio, we're going to take a brief station break with music with a message, and when we come back, we're going to discuss and talk about this issue of destroying African history. And in the context of the discussion, we're going to equate the word destroying also along with erasing. You know, we're going to put it in the same context as we use it. That was an interesting documentary. You can go to YouTube and click on How Eugenics Erased Black History. And there are so many lessons to learn, and what we want to do when we come back is just discuss some of these lessons that we can learn from this documentary, because it qualifies under the concept of the many missing pages of our history. We'll be right back. This is the voice of MPH. This is Missing Pages of History. Don't you go nowhere.
Take Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Over me. We talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Past I burst into Richmond, where the ghosts of childhood haunt me. Walk the road my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
I'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. This is the 29th day of April 2023. We can now make our transition to our theme today, destroying African history. Some may call it black, but we don't understand it's synonymous. We say destroying African history in this context. Now, there's an interesting documentary that you can find on YouTube that we would like to encourage all of our people and all people of goodwill to take a look at. Titles, How Eugenic Erased Black History. And instead of creating something, since this will has already been created, we need to reinforce it. And we think that there are lots of lessons to learn. And we're just going to discuss and highlight some issues and points of importance as relates to this whole battle of African history and how it has or continue to have an impact on our present day society, and to get a better understanding of what is myth and what is reality. So we'd like to have those who have had a chance to view that particular documentary to join us by dialing in at 818-337-0016. Hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. We thought it would take some time and highlight and give this particular documentary some props, which it greatly deserves. So at this point in time, let's go into the discussion on how eugenics erase, or we would say destroy, African history. Now, when you read this particular, or when you view the particular documentary, it raises a lot of issues. It talks about how eugenics was used to erase Black history. In this case, we say African history. It raised the question on white equals this concept of status. When you talk about the word white, you're really talking about the concept of status, a certain status. It talked about white supremacists and its relationship to eugenics. Other way, eugenics is really white supremacy is a manifestation that arisen from this whole movement of eugenics. It talks about war against the weak. Why do they have walls against the weak? There's a book by Edwin Black you should take a chance and check out. It talked about European history. It was whitewashed, and it continues today. What do they mean by European history and whitewashed, and what it means today? And what is it like to be white in America today? It raised the issue, what is it like to be white in America today? And at what point did America life change as relates to this question of its growth or impact of eugenics? It takes the position that this change took place around the Reconstruction period between 1865 to 1877. And the fundamental questions we would like to ask ourselves today as we look at this documentary, the question of how and why history was rewritten. How was it and why was it rewritten? Those are some of the points, issues that it highlights, and we'd like to open up our mic today and have a discussion with you on what you got from this particular documentary, how eugenics erased Black history. So I gave you a little backdrop for right now. We'll bring in Brother Alex, and we'd like to open it up and get his perspective on some of the issues that we just raised, or some of the issues that he got from this article that he would like to share with this listening audience of this importance. Brother Alex, the mic is yours.
Well, again, thank you, Mr. Lee, for your great choice of topics, and I believe it's going to be a hot mic today. So in saying that, getting back to what the article was basically saying about eugenics, it is a scientifically erroneous and immoral theory of racial improvement and planned breeding, which gained popularity during the early 20th century. Worldwide, people believed that they could perfect or make more perfect human beings and eliminate the so-called social ills through genetics. And if you believe these methods, such as sterilization, segregation, social exclusion, would rid people of different defects in their personality, their character, or their color, then there's a serious problem with the person believing that, because that's called scientific racism. And as we move towards scientific racism and the methods that people use to say that this is right, we have to argue that that is also a cause of the superiority of white Europeans, and that they believe that there's an inferiority of non-white people whose social and economic status have been marginalized. So this grew out of what? Misappropriation of revolutionary advances in medicine, anatomy, and statistics during the 18th and 19th centuries. Charles Darwin's theory of evolution through the mechanism of natural selection. George Mendel's laws of inheritance. These scientific racisms or racismists drew support from contemporary people that had phobias against other folks, anti-Semitism, sexism, colonialism, imperialism, for the justification of slavery and the removal of the indigenous people from their land. See, to take over something or remove somebody from something that belongs to them, you have to denounce the people that live there or their culture and say that they are the savages, that they don't deserve to have what they have, live where they live, or just commonly exist. As at one point the United States was trying to carry out genocide against the American Indian. So when we look at the article here, and we also look at the sterilization that was taking place in the United States. And if you're going to say that at one point the goal of the government was to sterilize 14 million people in the United States and million more worldwide, and either that's something to think about. And we're just talking about handicapped individuals mostly, or people that would, you know, come down with certain diseases at that known time that, you know, that they would have them, such as polio and measles and different things that was happening. So it's just unbelievable how things could just grow from just a few people thinking that they're better than someone and want their features, which they happen to be given, would be the tailspin of everyone else. So if we look into our history as a country and to, as the article mentioned over and over, how the plight of the African-American was and the plight of the Indians was here in this country alone, yes, it's so great a feature and commentary on what everyone should take a look at this article and realize the discrepancies that we have been going through since we have been here in America, and the denial of how we got here, the denial of the cruel treatment that we received, and the cruel treatment and the injustices that are still going on today. So for anyone to stand up and say that they do not see racism in America, then they're blind. They're than Ray Charles to say that they can't see racism, because it is all about and is healthy and well. Now, how do we get this much hate out of our society? Well, we're going to have to listen to the viewers and get some of their comments, because I'm almost at a loss of how you reach out to someone that doesn't want to reach back, that feel that they are superior, because this has been going on since America was started. So it's almost like an inherited behavior that I am better than you and there's nothing we need to talk about. So whether we are Democrats or Republicans or whatever the issue mentioned, that they have flip-flopped many times, so the Republicans that we used to know are no longer those Republicans. The Democrats that were used to be known, they're no longer those Democrats. No, times have changed. And there are very few people on the side of the people of color. And we have to recognize that, and we have to remain revolutionary and remember that we cannot give up our culture. That is the most important thing. We cannot give it up, not at all, because if we do, we give away our history and then the remembrance of who and what we were. As the African history is thousands of years and hundreds of thousands of years old, but no one talks about it. If not, it is very seldom discussed. but our history goes back almost a half million years, but we know little about it today. So we don't want to be erased at all, but there are forces out here to erase us. And I give the mic back to you, Mr. Lee, and open it up to the callers, because like I said, I'm waiting on a hot mic to go about this, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy.
Thank you, Alex. Next, we'll go to Susie and get her perspectives on this documentary. Susie, what was your take on this document?
Okay, one thing I will, it was a very good documentary. One aspect I wish he would have dealt with was the cloning aspect, because when you look at the cloning as a big part of eugenics, it allowed the scientists to begin with known human prototype. And we think about years ago when they prototyped the, I believe it was the pig, and improved it by modifying specific traits. That's one issue. I'm pretty sure probably the documentary later on deal with the aspect of cloning. And also the fact that the Sir Francis Galton was Charles Darwin's cousin, and which Darwin was a British naturalist, biological evolution by natural selection, which he descended with modification. I just wonder how that played part in this Galton doing what he did in 1883 with the eugenics, with making it being involved good in birth or good in stock. What was the difference being that they were cousins? And how did Charles Darwin's information play into what Galton did? But all I can say was it was a good documentary. It had a whole lot of information. And basically, that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Susie. We'll go to our callers who've been online waiting patiently. And we, again, you can check out this documentary on YouTube by typing in How Eugenics Erase Black History. And that's since we use the word African in place of black. But check it out. It's a lot to learn. And from our listening audience, we're going to sit back and learn from caller 6057. One of the key questions it raised was how and why history was rewritten. Why was it important to rewrite history, and why was it important to do this? And how did they do this? So anyway, let's hear what caller 6057 has to say about this particular documentary. Caller, welcome to MPH Radio 6057. The mic is yours.
Hey, thanks for having me. There's several lessons I take from this documentary. And it's kind of long, but it is definitely needed. And one of the reasons why they wanted to rewrite history was to minimize the role that African and indigenous people played in the development of U.S. history. And they wanted to perpetuate this myth of a super race or pure race or race with Nordic or Germanic features, and they wanted to perpetuate this superiority myth in order to give justification to the oppression of the indigenous and African people that make up this land as even more so than the Europeans do. And they used science to justify this racism. And that's what eugenics is, the use of science to justify white supremacy. And they used that, and it was vicious the way they went about it. And the documentary doesn't go into too much detail about how Africans and indigenous people were exploited during colonialism in order to do these experiments, genetic selection, sterilization, and the influence that it had on Europeans worldwide. That's why the documentary points out that eugenics spread to all the continents, pretty much. And that is because British capitalism in particular was everywhere. And the U.S. had U.S. eugenicists had an influence on the European counterparts. As a matter of fact, apartheid was actually invented in the U.S., as is kept. And that is one of the aspects they don't want us to know about history. The idea that so-called non-enslaved Africans had to have documentation to show that they weren't anybody's property. That is where the South African colonialists got the idea to pass laws from. They borrowed that directly from U.S. capitalists. That is one of the aspects of U.S. history that the ruling class, the ruling bourgeoisie, does not want to know the masses of the people to know about. And also the influence U.S. capitalists had on the Nazis. And the Nazis took eugenics to levels that the U.S. counterparts never dreamed of. And eugenics got such a bad name that they changed it to genetics later on in order to hide their evil intentions. But it was this effort to try to produce a master race that caused the suffering and persecution of non-Europeans worldwide. And this got perpetuated through eugenics. And one of the ways they did was that eugenicists took control of the funding of various institutions like library, colleges, and universities. That is how these ideas got perpetuated, because they took control of the funding of these institutions, and therefore they were able to reduce they took control of the scholarship in that way, the books, literature, and what have you, and they taught generations of people these ideas. And that is why racism persists to this day. And also there were certain states that had laws that, practicing eugenics and sterilization laws in numerous states. As a matter of fact, there were some states that were known for sterilizing particularly African and indigenous people. So there's a lot to this documentary, but those were some of the things I got from it.
You know, Carl, in terms of one of those states who are known for practicing eugenics and sterilization, I found was interesting when the first state and then you say the fact that was California. What you make of that? Look at California today and the picture of how they try to tell California as being a leading progressive state, but they have a real interesting history. What you make of that, Carla?
Interesting you point that out, that it seems like if you recall, California was originally one of numerous states that were taken from Mexico during the U.S. Mexico War. As a matter of fact, about a third of over a third of Mexico's territory was taken over by the U.S. So it had a rather large indigenous population already, and Europeans came from the east and migrated to California, allegedly in search of gold and numerous other minerals and whatever resources they could get control of. And in order to clear these people, the indigenous people out, they resorted to sterilization programs. So in light of how California became part of the U.S. and several other states such as Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, et cetera, it isn't surprising that sterilization campaigns would have taken place in areas like California. But they don't want people to know this, so they hide that they suppress it, and that is the reason why they don't want African history taught or indigenous history taught in the school system, because without the knowledge of history, you lose your knowledge of one's culture eventually. And that paves the way for eliminating entire groups of people.
And Carla, I raise one more point with you before we go to our next caller, based on what you have stated in terms of your observation of this documentary. You raised the issue of the point that apartheid, the concept and the issue of apartheid, came out of the U.S. and the Boers in so-called Azania, South Africa, adopted that. But also the whole concept of eugenics came out of the U.S. and went back into Europe. That's where the Germans pick it up. But today they'll make you think, when you talk about eugenics, they always make you think about Germany and Hitler. What you make of how they have reversed that presentation of history, Carla?
They reversed it by suppressing the fact that capitalists and colonialists communicated with each other, and a lot of eugenicists funded these various institutions and libraries, and they were able to suppress a lot of the literature that revealed their role. Whereas if you go to Europe, you can find out a lot about the role that U.S. eugenicists played in terms of fomenting these sterilization campaigns around the world. It gained ground in Europe and the U.S. around the same time periods. And this was to perpetuate the exploitation of African labor in both areas. And what they could not control, they decided to eliminate. And by not teaching African history in the school system, Africans presently do not know a lot of this information. And that creates a very dangerous situation.
Thank you, caller. We can put you on hold. Let's go do call 7236, 7236. The mic is yours. We're discussing the topic, how eugenics erase or destroy African black history. Call your response to the documentary, 7236. The mic is yours.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for a very exciting and interesting show this afternoon. History of the diaspora and indigenous people has been literally wiped off the map. We don't know which tribes actually survived independently. And I've had the experience of just witnessing this phenomena. And there are nations within the indigenous population that we literally don't, other than through oral tradition, have no knowledge of, because the persons writing the history did not include the indigenous people or the formerly enslaved people and their descendants. I just want to say thank you for a great show and the presentation on Harry Belafonte, a true revolutionary, as was Paul Robeson, who was a communist. And thank you for allowing me to share my comments with your audience today.
Thank you, caller. And we'll see if caller 4298 has any kind of response or comments. Caller 4298, welcome to MPH Radio. The mic is yours, 4298.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and greetings to everyone in, under the sound of my voice. The eugenics, you know, and white superiority and apartheid all are tied up there in the same psychological, ideological mentality. And you can't distinguish the difference between, because they're all people who are self-righteous in that they have their own standards of what they think is of value, and they have a superiority complex, and there's no reasoning with them. It's an antagonistic contradiction between the freedom-loving people and those who are oppressors. And so and I'd just like to say that, you know, like the freedom letter from 1 million Americans to Bishop Desmond Tutu back in the 1980s with Randall Robbins and et cetera, we denounce the apartheid as a crime against the human soul. It is a moral outrage. We condemn it. And, you know, we understand that apartheid is against freedom-loving people everywhere. Black freedom-loving people in the USA will continue to fight beside our Anglo freedom-loving brothers and sisters until this system of exploitation is discredited and abandoned. It is a system which attempts to divide us, leave our children without a legitimate father, and perpetuate anarchy within our family, our nation, and unleash anarchy within the government. And I think, you know, that January 6th proved that these white supremacists and eugenics and social engineering superiority people show that they are anarchists at heart, that they basically have no constructed program of action, but they're just full of hate and disruption, coming up to kill, steal, and destroy. And And so we have an antagonistic contradiction with these people. And there's limits to how much you can reason with them. Sooner or later, we're going to have to draw clear lines of distinction and have our own independent positive program of action, which suppresses their intents. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlo. You know, to the listening audience and the participants today, some of the other issues or points that came from this documentary is very interesting. It talked about the 1877 compromise, you know, how there was a compromise to settle the election of 1876 in the U.S. And based upon that compromise, you know, some of the key states that benefit from withdrawing the troops from the southern states, so Europeans go back to their normal way of functioning, of oppressing indigenous African people. Those states were Florida, Louisiana, Georgia. And from the time period, you know, he rose the whole question after Reconstruction, this whole concept of state rights, the right to make sure they exploit African labor. They also, there was a large movement and how many African cities were destroyed, towns were destroyed. They talk about this whole question, this concept in Germany, coming up with what they perceived as what it would be a perfect race based upon the phenotypes of being blonde hair, blue eyes. And more importantly, one of the tools they used to spread all of this misinformation and this question of eugenics was around this issue of publications, medical journals, serving as a form to communicate among the eugenics around the world in terms of how and what they should be doing and what is taking place in these so-called areas of scientific area. So I find that very interesting, you know. Even this question of you ask, who fund this thing? Who fund this movement? And it talks about the relationship between the Rockefellers, you know, the Rockefellers, the foundations, and even this question of the congregants and their foundations and how they were able to establish and create thousands of libraries around the world to paint a picture based upon this concept and idea of eugenics. And even today, these are the same libraries that have been handed down from generation to generation, like teaching our kids in terms of this was the world that existed when reality, you know, we come to see it was not. So they have been very consistent and scientific in terms of how they build different tools of oppression, from having foundations to fund these tools, for creating tools such as libraries, from discipline to creating professors and doctors to carry on their ideals. And this is how they have been able not only to create this false narrative of what the world was, the history of the world, but this is how they even continue it today. So I just would like to hear maybe some of the folks' response to how they use this whole question of walls. People don't understand the politics of war. One of the things raised in terms of how it was able to erase and wipe out history, I think this recently, these walls in the so-called Middle East, in Iran and Iraq and Syria, these are very historical places. They are very important historical artifacts. And what they have done to walls is they selectively bomb these artifacts, historical significant areas, intentionally, so they can rewrite history. And this is what's going on today. So I'd like to see if some of our listening audience and guests would like to respond to some of the phenomenal things that I just mentioned. We'll go back to Brother Alex. Brother Alex?
Yes, Mr. Lee. We have to realize that during that time, or we will say during the time well before Theodore Roosevelt or Alexander Graham Bell or John D. Rockefeller, because they were also supporters of this immoral idea and gave money, time, and also wrote articles and different things like that, because their support was there to get rid of the people that they thought were society's ills that were, you know, holding, you know, humanity back. And when you, you know, get to a point that, you know, you begin to look at people and say that, you know, the people that need to be erased off the place or off the face of the earth, you know, would be, you know, the poor, you know, the handicapped, Black, Jews, Mexicans, Native Americans, and even Italian and Irishmen and different ones. I mean, it was a whole network of people, and that they, you know, not all but some, you know, said that this group needed to go or that group needed to go or whatever, because we're going to produce the better and best. But they themselves were not the best, and they had many failings of their own. So when you try and say that you're much better than someone else, then you have to really look deep down at yourself, because you're not perfect. And then none of these men that considered themselves perfect were perfect. So now they're giving sons and daughters in wars and getting rid of, like you said, populations, you know, that are being bombed and killed and everything eliminated. The huge decision that when two atom bombs were dropped, you know, in two cities in Japan, the loss of life was considered on one side of the table because of who was going to fight the yellow race. So when you say that my race is better than your race, so it's fine for me to drop a bomb that will exterminate thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in seconds, versus maybe 500,000 casualties in taking a land and stopping another country in war. But you devalue the life of the people on the other side. So that's what happens in war when you go after innocent civilians. You have to devaluate them and look at them as non-existent, that you don't care about them, their culture, their children, or anything. And that's where it all came from. You know, even the development of the atomic weapons and different things of what, which have us on pins and needles every day if we're to use them. Because it will destroy whole cultures. Lands will be devastated. You know, we won't be able to live in areas for many years. So when we get to, you know, talking about, you know, the changes that are being made today, even in just simple warfare, where thousands are dying, you know, as in this past war, but there are thousands are dying all around the world, in the same name of this, where you got yellow and brown people and every other nation that is being pit in war by weapons being sold by the United States to these countries, and they turn these weapons against themselves. So are they not trying to exterminate certain populations again? So it is a question, and I like to leave it open and say, hey, you know, where do we go from here to stop the fighting and bring back the love? Because right now we are on a path of destruction that I can't see no way out. I can't see a victor. Not at all. So I'm opening up the mic back to you and say, hey, where do we go from here? And thank you.
Where do we go from here is a good question. I think before we can ask the question, we collectively must understand how the game is being played. In terms of how have they went about rewriting the history. And one of the things this article bring out, and I'd like to have caller 6057 maybe respond to it based upon his understanding, is that he talked about there are four methods. There are four methods in which they use to help rewrite and change history. One, he said, about natural accidents. You know, there might have been a fire, a hurricane, an earthquake came and wiped out certain historical cities and buildings and properties. Then he said there was accidents that were intentionally made, like intentionally burning up libraries, building up churches, burning up historical sites so they could destroy these properties and replant them and replace them. Then he talked about this question of you know, he talked about how fire, intentionally setting things on fire, to have a wall. So all of these were techniques of how they use as a tool to destroy and replace so they can rewrite history. So in terms of using these techniques, called a 6057, it gave you a history of all the mysterious fires where different libraries around the world got caught on fire and got burned up. And he said these were not accidents. So your response to that aspect of that history of how to use these kind of tactics to destroy historical figures and history, rewrite them, call of 6057.
Okay. Classically, there is a history of Europeans destroying African communities, especially when the most common cause being a case where either a European woman was assaulted or raped, and the Europeans in the surrounding area would get all fired up, and they would destroy the African community. This happened in Rosewood, Florida, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, for example. And when these institutions or communities are destroyed, the people that take over these communities can rewrite history in that way. And also through warfare. I think these wars that have taken place in Iran, Syria, Iraq, which are have very ancient histories associated with them, they were deliberately devastated by war. And there is a psychological campaign mounted in order to create the climate in which these wars take place, in which the victims are dehumanized. And in order to be that cruel to another human being, you have to see that those human beings as less than human. And I think the propaganda campaigns mounted by the capitalist media play a role in terms of creating a climate for these acts of violence to take place and all this destruction to take place. And in that vacuum, aid comes in, and a massive reconstruction campaign takes place, and that's one of the ways in which history is rewritten from the perspective of the bourgeoisie, and one of their goals is to take control of the education of the entire world, in a sense, and that way inculcate their ideas among the world's people, so that people act against their own interests, in effect. And that's a very so it's a dangerous situation. And in terms of the way out of it, those who know more have to do more to share this information and teach our people so that we can organize to fight against it. It's only through organization that we will put an end to this sort of thing. And our people have to be organized.
Thank you, Carlo. One really interesting point that came out of the documentary also is this question of sometimes they can have you reading the truth and you still be misled. He he was talking about the images, the importance of images, how people look and their reality. And he gave a good example, which I thought is really interesting, and probably this happened throughout their presentation history. And he gave a good example of how they changed the images of the real characters, and they created superficial characters that really didn't exist. And one example he talked about was Daniel Wessler, the so-called individual who they labeled the Western Dictionary after. He argued and points out that Daniel Wessler was not European. He was a person of African origin. And how even in the documents, it described the characteristics, physical phenotypes of being African-like. But yet, when you look at the picture, they redrew him, he had none of those features. So in terms of the imageries of things that we consider how people may have looked, we are living, you know, are living a lie in terms of the imageries. And I'm quite sure, I often wonder, given the fact that many Africans was explorers that were here prior for Europe, even though that was a Western world, that many of these people who they claim who was living over here and who came up with these so-called inventions and stuff really was not a European people. What you make of that reality, Sister Susan? Thought of the real images of who were these people. They even have stories about Alexander Hamilton and his background and Abe Lincoln, and these are really fictitious characters based upon how they have rewrote them. Just show general response to imageries and the games they have played and continue to play, Susie. What do you make of that? Can you hear me, Susie? I guess we have some problem with Susie. Let's go to caller 7246. Your response to this question of imageries, that's how Europeans have distorted and changed imageries from the truth to falsehood. Caller 7236.
Yes.
Any comments?
Yes, the history is extraordinarily distorted. And I think what's essential, that if we just remember one thing, the import of slaves and the practice of chattel slavery was for the construction of this nation, and that the slaves were employed from A to Z, meaning they were xylophones, but they also were architects, they were farmers, they were experts in all crafts. Recently, for example, Jack Daniel's, a very famous American whiskey, it was discovered when they were checking the old tax records and records that it was a slave who was the inventor of Jack Daniels, and now there's a new product on the market called Uncle Ernie's, after the slave whom got the formula right for this whiskey, because in the United States all whiskey was made in wine spirits, except for the very rich who could import wines from Europe, was made domestically. And in fact, the slaves were all of these things, including artists. If young scholars have been studying the Smithsonian collection from the 19th century, and many of these paintings were done by slaves. George Washington University purchased the Corcoran Gallery of Art, which had a huge collection of landscapes. And come to find out, one of the painters of those landscapes was, yes, a New York artist, but he was an African. He was as we say in America, an African-American, but as we say as our consciousness raises, he was an African born in America, living in America. So the skills and the diversity of the labor pool that the enslaved people contributed to the United States was profound. And if you look at a state like Virginia, if you were set free, you would have to leave the state in a year if you were not a skilled worker. And so that means you look at the records, and there were so many freed blacks at the beginning of the Civil War in Virginia alone, and they were farmers, they were cabinet makers, they were blacksmiths. And remember, the slave importers themselves imported slaves for their particular skills, such as the Benin people, famous iron workers and artisans. And they were imported just for those reasons. If you do a tour of the District of Columbia, you'll see these traditional iron steps on the front of the old townhouses and the fencing with the semicircle arches in the front, all the design and the work of African people. So definitely we've been written out of history. You see people like DeSantos, who now, for example, is taking Disney on, Mickey Mouse on, for speaking up for the community. And you see the advancement of totalitarianism in this around the world. So you will begin to see more history forgotten and destroyed. Remember, Hitler began to destroy certain books and books by Jewish authors and others. So that history, for example, is lost to the world forever. And we are risking that in the United States. We saw where a famous producer purchased a book about a slave ship that was written by an African-American, picked up at a thrift store in the District of Columbia. The copyright had expired, so he copyrighted it himself and produced a film that made millions upon millions of dollars. So the question for me becomes, should this person, Steven Spielberg, pay reparations to the family of this author? And, of course, my answer is yes. And so much has been lost. You look at Carver, and he made fabric with peanuts. But at the same time, remember, cotton products and all the fabric that we use in the old broadcloth called denim, is made from a vegetable, a plant, a plant, and that plant is cotton, and cotton made America rich. So we see the incredible inventions and the real McCoys. They were a black family and known for their expertise in pottery and so many other things. So, yes, there is so much history that is unknown, and it is still held on in oral tradition. But we need for scholars, as they did during the WPA project and during the Great Depression, to go and take those oral histories and document them and print them so that we do not lose more history. Because when we lose this history, we lose it for humanity. suffering when we lose history. Because if you fail to know your past, it will affect where you go in your present and your future. So Black history is American history. African history is world history.
Thank you, Carla, for your comments. And closing out our final thoughts, I'd like to ask each one of our participants today if they would just respond to this article again, the documentary, How Eugenics Erased Black History, as we say, African History. And in this documentary, it talks about, and maybe this may be the reason why there was a need to rewrite history. It talks about the whole issue of African people and people of color rule Europe and the U.S. They had such concept as they call Black Europeans. They also talk about eugenics. They weren't only talking about those who favored eugenics, who was eugenics, who want to wipe out African people, but they also were talking about wiping out even European people or the lower class, the poor class, those who they consider abolitionists or hillbillies. They want to wipe out indigenous people. They want to wipe out all groups of people who did not fit a particularly small sector of a phenotype coming out of Europe. So in terms of this question of race and class, eugenics, they were just limited just only to African people. I thought that was interesting. You know, even this concept of white trash came out of that particular movement. They identified many of the so-called presidents of the United States, from William Taft to Wilson, and there were a host of so-called U.S. presidents who were eugenics. So in essence, we're going to find the thoughts, given the fact I've stated that. We're going to ask Sister Susie, just give us your final thoughts on this article for today's program.
Okay, basically the same thing. It really gives you a real history of whitewashing. A lot of times we hear about whitewashing history and we have no idea. And I was just thinking about this article. We have here in Virginia, we have a school that's over 100 years old, and it's just recently that the school burnt down. The thing about it burnt down, but it kept the overall structure. And when you look at the area that the school is in, it makes you wonder what part will Blacks or any other nationality that's not white is going to play a part in once they rebuild this particular school. And the guy... another thing that I found was interesting with this document is the fact that the guy that it was Edwin Black. Now, I have to do some research on him, but it seems coincidental that his last name is Black, and I was just wondering the significance between that. But it was a very good article, and I look forward to his continuation. This particular topic, eugenics.
And to our listening audience, for the point of clarity, again, some recent articles is a documentary you can find on YouTube titled How Eugenics Erased Black History. Right, let's get to some final thoughts from caller 4298. Any final thoughts on this subject tonight? Caller 4298.
Thank you, Brother Lee. It's been an interesting, very informative. As Mark said, the point is not to understand the world, but the point is to change the world. And so, the past can only serve the present and the future, and we have to have a positive and affirmative agenda for the future. And that's why we have to struggle against eugenics, apartheid, and superiority complexes of all sorts. And, hopefully... the future is bright. Thank you.
Thank you. 2 minutes. Your final thoughts or comment, caller 9811. Yes, your final comment, caller.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
How you doing?
I called in earlier. I I think that if you're going to do anything well these days, you need to fall under a veil of a nation, because if you're American, then you're American. Nobody in any other nation is going to look at you the same way and hear your accent and treat you like they treat each other.
Okay,
is that
Carl,
fair?
We'd like to thank you for your points, Carl. Your point is taken in. Thank you for supporting and listening to MPH Radio. We thank you. Okay, next we'll go to caller 7236. 7236, your final thoughts.
Just want to remind everyone that May 1st is here, International Workers' Day, and I stand in solidarity with workers around the world. And as the last caller said, if someone hears your accent and they know that you're an American, that means someone born in the United States of America, and there is a distinction in how you are perceived and treated. And with the unipolar society that is emerging, it will be interesting in seeing how this impacts Americans as they travel abroad, and how it impacts the expatriates who live abroad in South America as well as Africa. Thank you for a very interesting and exciting show, Brother Africa, Sister Susie, and Brother Alex, and your listeners and the persons who have called in with their comments. They're very important, and I just really appreciate this show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carla, for your comments and participation to today's program. And we get some final comments from Carla 6057, 6057.
Yes. I would recommend that everyone check out this documentary. And, you know, to understand how our history is being rewritten without our knowledge. And it's important to fight against that. And the only way to do that is through permanent political organization. And, you know, the solution is Pan-Africanism. The total liberation and unification of Africa under scientific socialism. Only a liberated people can actually undo the damage caused by eugenics. And we must fight to get this taught in our, you know, among our people, either within the school system or outside of it, but we must be organized in order to fight against this effectively. And I think the documentary was very informative, and I recommend that everybody check it out if they get time.
Thank you, Carla, for your participation to today's program. And we now will go to Brother Alex, your final thoughts on how you did it. Destroy African history. Your final thoughts, Brother Alex.
Right. Well, again, thank you for an awesome show, Mr. Lee. But, you know, that's what I expect, you know, out of you. I expect the best and no less ever since the moment I met you. And I would like to say at this time, if you don't mind, thank you for giving me that opportunity to, you know, be on television this past week with you. And to, you know, go over some things that we need to know as a nation, because we're talking today about our culture, about our survival, about who we are and where we need to go and how we need to unite and how we need to move forward. We could not do that unless we see ourselves as brothers. We call ourselves brothers in the struggle. But we have to be beyond the struggle. We have to be in unity with one another. And that means we have to have the same mindset. And that mindset will take us into faith and belief and trust and loyalty. So if we can combine all that, we can move forward. So as a people, we've lost so many things that have separated us because of this scientific quagmire that says that we are the lesser of the human race. But the lesser of the human race has been flipped around. And we have to recognize that, that who is the best and who may not be the best. And we see that in inventions. We see that in sports. We see that in theater. We see that in arts. We see that almost anywhere you look. So do not count yourself out. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. You are the best that God made you to be. It is up to you to succeed. It's not for somebody else to tell you who and what you are. So you just keep, as they say, moving on up. And do not let anybody rain on your parade. And I thank you again, Mr. Lee, for a wonderful time in Richmond.
Brother Allen, we thank you for your contribution to today's program, our listeners, our participants, and our supporters. We'd like to remind everyone, MPH Radio comes on a bi-weekly basis every other Saturday. Our next program will be on the 13th of May at 1 p.m. Please put that down on your calendar, spread the word, and join us. And we'd like everyone to remember that must reinforce positive work. And the work on this documentary, which you can find again on YouTube, How Eugenics Erased Black History, is a piece of work that must be appreciated, and we must use it as a tool to learn from. So please check that out. By checking that out and learning it, we'll be one of the many ones who is contributing to filling in our missing pages of history. We also would like to thank all our friends, supporters, and remind our listening audience, if you can get Comcast television cable in the Richmond metropolitan area in the state of Virginia or Verizon, we ask you to check out channel 95 on Comcast and 605 on Verizon on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m., where we now have a regional seasonal program called Mr. Page's History TV. Check us out, join us, and like always, if you want to be a supporter and help become an active member of MPH Radio or TV and Missing Pages of History as an organization, please email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. If you have any comments concerning this radio program, you can email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. Please do so. We encourage your support by making a contribution to MPH Radio in care of Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, or you can zell us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. We appreciate all contributions. Your support is needed and welcome. And we want to continue to do work as we use communications as a means to develop our underserved communities. Until next time, we just come ask you to consider joining us and help us fill in these missing pages of history. Until next time, just remember, MPH Radio is here for all of us. This is your institution. And again, those who fail to learn our history are doomed to repeat the same mistake twice. Please, let's not do that. Let's join and help us build Missing Pages of History. We see you on the 13th of May. Until next time, as Sister Lisa Keys will share with you, we are here for all of us. We thank you. This has been the voice of MPH Radio.
get something we never had. Let's start with a good dad. So real, but it's so sad. And while we burning this incense, we gon' pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. In the nation with no support for education, cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about, let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving, do more forgiving. Yeah, our souls were brought together so that we could love each other. Sisters, we